We want to greet all of you in the radio audience, listening audience, with peace. Our greeting as Muslims is Assalamu Alaikum. It's a beautiful day here today in the Chicago area, here in Homewood, Illinois. And I just left Philadelphia. I was invited there to speak at a high school, Martin Luther King High School there. And we were received by many young sisters, and they gave a performance that really spoke to the needs, the mind needs of their peers. They did a wonderful job. They were maybe 2/3 of them were Muslims, and about 1/3 of them were Christians. And their ages perhaps range from about 16 to 24, 25, somewhere around there. And I was really impressed with their performance. They said the right things, and they addressed the right problems, and said the right things. We should never give up on our youngsters. You know, what we are seeing in the news is not always a reflection of what is real in the life of African-American people. We see a lot of trouble. We see a lot of failure. But that's news. You know, news captures such things. I've often heard that news wants sensationalism. It wants what's sensational, what excites you, and what gets your attention right away, you know. Tragedies and bad scenes that shock your moral mind, your moral nature and conscience. So we are seeing a lot of that because it gets news. And it is deserving of news. It's deserving of the news. But the problem I have with it is that they don't come back and balance it with the good news that's going on all the time in our lives that hardly ever gets reported, except in part, and on very few occasions it's reported. These youngsters are doing good. They're not only doing bad. The youngsters are doing a lot of good, and they're reaching their peers, their friends, their associates in the streets. They're reaching them, and they're desperate. They're just as desperate as we are to help their brothers and sisters of their age who are in real trouble with their lives and are at risk. They are doing what they can and trying very desperately to help them. So I just want to share that with you. I had a very good visit to Philadelphia. It's a little warm in here, and I have on a jacket I need to take off. Someone take that jacket for me. And don't put it down just anywhere. That jacket costs a little money. A brother gave it. Yeah. That's a special gift. I'm sentimentally attached to that jacket. All right. Now, I was thinking that I should share some of what I gave to that audience, share some of that with you today, some of what I gave to that audience in Philadelphia at the Martin Luther King High School in Philadelphia. The superintendent of schools is there. I better share some more information with you. The superintendent of schools, Philadelphia schools, was there, and very much interested in my coming there and my presence there. So much so, he said to me, he said that we're going to plan for you to visit again. He said we didn't have enough time to prepare for your visit. He said we're going to prepare for your visit again. And he said, next time, he said, we're going to have a bigger facility, and it's going to be filled with students. So that tells me the superintendent, he likes something I'm saying. Everyone is born to grow and become mature enough, grown and mature enough, to manage one's own personal life, your body, your human life. But if the environment is filled with things that attract your interest, some of those things may overpower your own will to govern your own life. But God created you to govern your own life. The Creator made all of us and equipped all of us, gave us what we need in our own bodies and in our own makeup. What will be enough for the management of our personal life, our own bodies. The importance of being in condition is what we want to talk about for a little while here. The importance of being in condition. To manage its own functions of life, the human body needs to be in the condition that is known to work for it. To have its own composition, number one, to have its own composition. Now, how can one lose one's own composition? The heart, the mind, these are two of the most important organs. The brain, or the mind, and the heart, our feelings. These are the two most important organs, heart and mind, or mind and heart. So, along with these two organs, we have many other organs. But these are the most important, heart and mind. The heart is pumping life to every part of the body. Life. Food for life. It goes into the blood. And the heart pumps the blood, so the blood gets to every part of the body. Even the hair needs blood. It's the roots of the hair is deep enough in the scalp or in the skin so that it also gets nourishment from the blood. So the whole of the body is served by the heart that pumps blood throughout the body so that the whole body gets the life and the food, life and the food for life. And the brain is like a chief, it's like the boss. The brain is like the boss. Now, I'll continue to read this and read what I've written here. And afterward, we come back to this, to that thought. To have circumstances. Now, we know that we need circumstances. Even in the mother, the right circumstances have to be there. Because if she's deficient in health, or deficient in what she needs to make her body healthy, it will most likely affect the growing baby in the mother. The human body grows to completeness. 9 months usually in the body, in the mother. And the cord, after 9 months, the baby is delivered, and the cord connecting the baby to the mother is cut. The body is separated from the mother. The new human life now has a mind growing to one day take charge and be the authority over the human body. As it is for the first composition of human life, for that life forming in the mother till it reaches its completion and has to be separated from the mother, the human mind first needs to be in the condition known to work for it. I want to repeat that.
Yes, sir.
The human mind has to be in the condition that is known to work for it. As it is for the first composition of human life, the human mind needs to be in the condition known to work for it. Now, before we were exposed to so many things that take our attention, our mind's attention, in these big cities, when we were living in rural areas in the South or in the North, where there was not a lot of distractions, life was so easy to manage. But you bring your young children up to the big city, and it becomes very, very difficult. Very, very difficult to manage the life. Now, in these late years, last 10 years or more, even the small towns have suffered the big town problems. Drugs, violence, etc. Needless self-destruction, senseless, I should say, self-destruction, etc. Since the human body has no will to boss the human mind, creation didn't give the body a will to boss the mind. Creation gave the body only a will to serve the mind. Changing lifestyles brings on change in thinking and change condition of mind. Changing lifestyle. So if you want a change of mind, or 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 a change of mind, all you have to do is change your lifestyle. If you want, pardon me, if you want to lose your mind, all you have to do is go and get in or accept a bad lifestyle. A bad lifestyle takes away your good mind. Now the mind is not in the condition that is known to work for the life of the mind. So what's going to happen to the body? The body now is confused.
That's right.
And the body will warn the mind.
Yes.
Hey, this ain't right. You're doing something now that ain't good for you. The body will warn the mind. Hey, you're eating too much. You're laughing too much. You need to balance it. Come back. Get serious again. The body will warn you. I know you say the conscience or subconscious and all that. I'm giving you a language that you can easily understand. The body will warn you, and you may listen, and then you will come back into the condition of mind that is known to work for you, or you won't listen, and the body will urge you maybe a little stronger.
Yeah.
And after a while, the body has no more energy to spend on your mind. The body urges get weaker and weaker. After a while, you can't feel it. Then the body leaves you on your own. Now, in religion, both Christianity and Islam, in religion, we are told that when judgment time comes and we have to stand in the court of judgment and answer for our wrongs that we have done in the lifetime, we are told that the members of our own body will testify against us in that Supreme Court. Huh? So the members of our own body will testify against us. Say, no, you can't blame me for this. Say, judge, Supreme Court judge, he can't blame me for this. It was his feet following his mind that walked him into that whole house. It was his mind telling his eyes to look at that woman that messed up his family life. Huh? The members of your own body are going to speak out against you and say, no, I didn't ask him to shoot drugs into me. I didn't ask him to drug me. It was his mind that wanted to be drugged. And his mind made the decision to drug his mind, and I suffered the consequences. Huh? Now you're talking about abuse. If we really think about it, think about the condition of human life now in the streets and in some the streets and in some the streets and in some of these homes. And look at what we have done to our bodies. The innocent flesh, human flesh, is suffering terrible abuses. Terrible abuses. Now I'm going to share something else with you. That fella who put that movie together that is supposed to have Jesus Christ story in it and showed you how he was mistreated, how he was suffered so much. Let me tell you something. That's Christ, the human body. That ain't Christ the prophet. That's what we are doing to our own human bodies that God made, created to serve us. To serve us for a good life. And then we abuse it like that. So when you weep for Jesus Christ as given to you in that movie, weep for your own people's human bodies that are suffering and abused all the time, 24 hours a day. By the mind. Recently, I read an article in Newsweek magazine, December the 5th this year. And that article was on anorexia. 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 How many are familiar with the disease, the problem called anorexia? Oh, good. More than about half. About half of you almost. Now, think about this disease, anorexia. It affects children, very young children. And it also affects middle-aged people. And the article says it affects blacks and Asians more than others. More than those that are not black or Asian. Now, do we have some natural, created susceptibility or vulnerability or weakness for this problem, anorexia? I say no. But if we continue the lifestyle that we have come into, we may in time have a genetic problem. It will become a genetic problem. The genes are made originally in the Garden of Paradise by God, the Creator. But our abuse of our minds goes into the system of the body and affects the system of a body, of the body, human body. And eventually, human body will suffer the effects. What is worry? Worry is something invisible, isn't it? But it can give you gray hair. It can give you bad nerves. It can deform your body. But it's a condition that comes into the mind that can affect your body. Anorexia, I believe, is a condition that has been brought on by this, by these inhuman, abnormal, inhuman, insane lifestyles. Not only anorexia, many other problems that we have are problems of bad mental dispositions, bad mindsets, bad lifestyles. So we need to see these things clearly, and if we see them clearly, if we can bring this information to the public will hear it, and the public will have a change of mind back to that mind that has proven the work for the life of the mind and for the life of the body. That's the problem as I see it.
That's right.
The problem is reaching the public with simple, plain truth. Not complicated theories, a lot of complicated ideas that will bore them and turn them off. But come to them with plain, simple language truth regarding their condition, and I do believe that the public will have a change of mind. Now, do you think everybody wants the public to have a change of mind?
No, sir.
There are people making big billions off of drugs. Billions, billions off of people drinking liquors in excess. Billions off of people laughing themselves to the nut house. So they keep you laughing. They want to keep you laughing. And they know you're laughing yourself to the nut house, to the mental institution. But they will keep you laughing. They'll tickle your funny bone until your mind becomes funny. Yes. So they're not happy to hear me say these things. I mentioned recently during an interview, I mentioned that the curriculum, education, needs to focus on the natural world order and the human mind relationship to that natural world order. Man began, as we are told, in the Garden of Eden. To understand the Garden of Eden, let me tell you firstly, the Garden of Eden is not something that existed in the beginning of human creation, when there was no human being on earth, and then there was a Garden of Eden, and then human beings were made and formed and put in that garden. No, it's not talking about the past. It's a picture of what God wants for us in our life that we have to work for, that we have to grow into. We need time to grow out of animal makeup and animal performance, to grow into the human mind so we can have human life and human performance. We need time for that. Science would tell you it took eons of time to evolve human life, for human life to be formed on this earth. Animals were here first. And what animals want? Animals want to feed their hunger. That's what they want. Animals want to feed hunger. Now, if you can be conditioned to want nothing but appetite, to want to do nothing but consume. You have no interest in building anything.
That's right.
You have no interest in giving anything to anybody. Your interest is just to take in. And it's not just food on the table.
That's right.
That you get from Burger King, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken and places like that. Chinese food and all that. No. You are hungry for more than that. You're hungry for fun. You're hungry for sex. Even when the body says, I'm through, I don't want anymore. You go and buy something to make you want more. So you're hungry for a lot of things. Some are hungry for violence. Right? Yes. Hungry for violence. So you're becoming, the public that is becoming a public driven by hunger like a mad beast, like an animal that can't ever get enough. Just have to consume and consume and consume, never gets enough. Abnormal, insane, corrupt to the core. And the environment is feeding you that. It's feeding you that. So you have now become a slave to your circumstances. A slave, a complete slave to your circumstances. You're not the boss in your body. The circumstances are bossing you. Huh? Well, look, We worry about being locked up in a jail physically. But we lock our own selves up in jails and can't move for human progress. We can't get on the road to human progress because we have locked our own selves up in a jail. We look back at slavery and say, oh, look what happened to us. Wasn't that sad? Wasn't that bad? And you put yourself in a mental condition of slavery and subject yourself to the forces of your environment that are crueler to your human life, your human mind, and your human body than the plantation slavery was to our ancestors, our forefathers. You are allowing conditions to take over your life that are crueler, that are more cruel than those conditions that we suffered as a people long ago on the white man's plantations. And we ask ourselves, how come we can't unite? We ask ourselves, how come we can't get together and do better with our life? How come we can't get together and make our neighborhoods financially strong? Like the whites and the Asians and others do. How come we can't succeed with that? The answer is, you have turned over the authority that God gave you to manage your own life. You have turned it over to the circumstances in your environment, in the public environment. There's public environment. There's public environment. There's no rule in your body from you. It's only from the circumstances in the environment. 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 So drugs take us down. Violence take us down. Huh? Stupid, silly fun destroys this people. Destroy our ability to manage our own life as a people. And we have to change. You've heard it said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And it's in the Bible. But it came from a philosopher. The philosopher first said it, as a man thinketh, so is he. And then in the Bible, the people, they adopted it and put it in the Bible. As a man thinketh, so is he. In the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the Quran. And in the New Testament, it changes somewhat. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart. In his heart. That's to help you understand what the problem is. The problem is letting your heart work with your mind to do wrong things. Your heart is supposed to like the seat of your desires. Or like a symbol for your deepest hunger, your heart, you are thinking in your greed, you are thinking in your uncontrollable appetite, you are thinking there. For after all, the brain needs something in order for it to be energized. The brain doesn't energize itself. The brain is energized when the brain is in touch with something else. So the brain has to be in touch with your heart to be energized. Has to be in touch with your appetites to be energized. And then once your brain is energized, it wants to serve the need. The brain wants to serve the need in the heart. Yes. But now, if someone can change the intelligence system of your brain so that your brain now is not functioning as it was created to function, it was created to make intelligent decisions. And as long as it makes intelligent decisions, it qualifies to be in authority over the body. It qualifies to be in authority over your selection of things to fulfill appetites. Yes. Huh? Because it knows how to distinguish between this and that. Right. Between what is good, what is harmful. What is sensible, what is foolish. The brain. But if you ignore that, ignore the brain is the organ. It belongs to the body. It's a piece of flesh. It's meat. It belongs to the body. So if you continue to ignore it, it won't even respond to you. Because it's the body. It's the same thing we said for the body as a whole. It can be said for any organ that functions within the body or performs a responsibility or a duty inside the human body, like the brain, like the heart. All right. So what we need to do is understand that life is not fun. Life is not a plaything. We are conditioned to, in this new environment that we are in, environment of entertainment and fun and just going for pleasures and kicks, we are conditioned in this environment to behave toward the body, human body, as though life is all about just having fun. It's for play. It's not for real. It's for play. That's where all the problem is. That's where all the problem is. And who are the biggest fun-making people on the planet Earth? Tell me. I'm acting like I don't know. Did you say Africans? No. African Americans. Number one champ of fun and play and foolishness, African Americans. Number two champ, Africa. Yeah. Are we the champion of foolishness? Fun and foolishness. We the champion. And look at our condition. Now let's change the picture somewhat, or the focus somewhat. When we study how life develops, human life that is, when we study how human life develops, when it comes to maturity and making mature choices, it's no different from the way animal life develops. Baby puppies, little baby dogs, called puppies, they play more than old dogs. Baby cub lions, they play more than old grown-up lions. And you can just go through it. Roosters, little baby rooster play more than a grown-up rooster. The older life get, the more it get away from fun and foolishness, and the more it get towards seriousness and maintaining community life. That's life, period. Animal and man. Shouldn't that tell us that we should guard ourselves against extremes of fun and foolishness? Now, we've had help. We didn't get this crazy by ourselves. We've had a lot of help. See, the market people, the commercial people, the market people, those who look for markets everywhere to make money, to sell something, anything. Those market people, they inspired us a few thousand of years ago in Africa. Oh, yeah. They looked at us and said, hey, here's a market. And a big one. See, these people are more given to fun than to serious matters. So let us start selling them things to feed that appetite they got for fun. And they target Africa to sell Africa fun and foolishness. Yes. Now, how come Africa was more vulnerable, a little bit more weak for such, I would say, scheme than Asians and others? Asia is a warm place. Africa is a warm place. Asia has its deserts. Africa has its deserts. Asia has some jungle, Africa has some jungle. So they are much alike in environment, aren't they? But the African lives in closer proximity. You have Asia so massive, so big. The land is so big. So animals can stay far away from human beings. But in Africa, man and animal lives in a closer proximity. And just like Asia, Africa has many monkeys. And monkeys look like humans, and they seem to like fun. Even when a monkey is serious, to us sounds like he's having fun. He might be warning another monkey, don't come over here. But he reaches us as a monkey having fun. He's laughing. We think he's laughing. And if you be in a close environment with him, pretty soon his antics will rub off on you. You find yourself, you know, you sneeze, somebody sneeze, and you don't have a cold. After a while, another person sneezes. Something about the body, it just communicates something, certain things, and certain things are so deeply ingrained until it prompts the next person to do the same. Sneeze, after a while, somebody, chew. Somebody laugh, another person laugh. Say, what are you laughing about? I don't know, but he laughed. Yes, so it's catching. They say it's catching. So these the behavior is catching. You see the monkey behavior all the time, it's catching. Monkey also have very vulgar behavior. A monkey can do some nasty things in his monkey public. He ain't like a cat. Cat want to go in privacy. Cat can find somewhere private, going to get away from onlookers and take care of his private business. But certain animals, like pigs, monkeys, and dogs, they have among them those that give themselves to public display of filth and nasty behavior, indecent behavior. Brother, you be careful taking your wife to the zoo. Especially to see the monkeys. You might have the embarrassment of your life. They are some nasty creatures. And scriptures say that because of their continuous rejection of God and the lifestyle that God wants for them, God let them regress and they became monkeys. Monkeys. Huh? Not knowing their shame. Are monkeys conscious of their shame, but not responding to their shame, not being shamed. Conscious of their shame, but their shame is not bothering their minds. People become like that. When they are taken over by forces in their environment and give their life to those forces and have those things ruling in their body. This is a new thing. It's an ancient thing. You read scripture how they had false gods, people of ancient times, long ago. They had many false gods. They built statues, huge monuments to their gods and named the god this year. One named Mu. Mu. And the word music comes from that god. The god Mu. Music. So this is no new thing. The science, the wise and those who know the science, the psychology behind these things, they won't tell you that you're worshiping Mu. But you are. There was never no real god named Mu that those people worship. But they gave themselves to fun and play. And they loved to be entertained. So they build a god and they celebrated worship of the worship of that god by calling the people at certain times to come in the presence of that god and just have fun like, what is that before Lent in New Orleans? Mardi Gras. Like the Mardi Gras, it takes place once a year. So at certain times, periodically, in this the history of ancient worship of false gods, they would have the people all come to a big festival where they would just eat and drink and just let it all hang out. Have sex right before the God, in the public, in the presence of each other. Have sex with the women and everything. Just let all of it hang out. So this ain't no new thing we see in the world today. This is an old trick played on the mind of the people to reduce them to animals so that they don't have any intelligent mind to make intelligent choices. Therefore, the market is free to sell them anything and everything. I studied the economics, and I read where, I have to stop in just a minute, and I read where there was a great meeting of business people, businessmen, and they met to see how they could stimulate the economy and get the people to buy more. And they used to say, you supply needs, huh?
Right.
That was the old theory in economics. The nature of economics is to supply needs. They changed it. One of them came up with an idea. He said, let's create needs and sell any and everything. So the moral life of the marketplace was lost when that idea came about. It was lost. There was a time when people selling you things in the market, they had a conscience. They wouldn't sell your children some of the things they're selling your children today. So that moral protection is gone. And I have to conclude here because our first hour has passed. But I hope that I'll speak to you again next month. This time on the first Sunday, I couldn't speak on the first Sunday this time because a major event came about and I had to prepare for it. We put it 1 week up to the 9th instead of the 1st. But inshallah, God willing, that is, I will be addressing our live from this place here in Homewood, from this Homewood Inn facility we have here, lovely facility. I will be addressing our live radio audience. We thank you for your attendance. We thank you for your presence in the radio audience. And we pray always that we grow in goodness, we grow in health, we grow intelligently, above all, grow intelligently and manage our life, accept responsibility for your own personal life and manage it against these evil forces, against these modern day false gods that are trying to take our life from us and take our children from us and ruin and wreck our families. We have to do something about it. We have to stand up to it.
Yes, sir.
So please, you right-minded people, associate with each other and form groups, clubs, committees, whatever, associations, and let good minds work with good minds. Let like minds work with like minds. And let us protect each other. We are our brother keeper, brother keeper. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We still have to wait just a few more minutes. We have a business brother that is going to come and make an announcement to us, one of our business associates. He'll be here in just a few minutes, I think. Well, I'll talk until he comes here. Many things are opening to us. Many good business opportunities are opening to us. It's clear in my mind that Allah has decided that now is the time for us to grow in business. Things are just opening up. I mean, tremendous opportunities. Big, big opportunities opening up to us. We're getting suits. I doubt if Sears and Roebuck can get the quality suits we're getting for the price we pay. I doubt it. I'm serious. I don't joke with serious matters. If I'm joking, I'll tell you. This is a joke. Don't take it serious. Yeah, this is no joke. I doubt if serious. I doubt if serious or any of the big companies can get these products for the price we're getting them. And I told Rafa maybe 15 years ago, driving to Little Rock, Arkansas, I told him, I said, Brother Rafa, I told him many things, but I also told him this. I told him, I said, the doors are going to open up to us in this country.
That's right.
I said, and I'm talking about business.
Right.
I said, it's not coming from Saudi Arabia or from Iraq or Iran or from the Gulf states.
Yeah.
Oil. They're not going to give us their oil.
That's right.
They don't have to give me their oil. I already got it. In fact, I got as much oil as they got and more. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, they don't have to give me their oil. God has given me their oil. Not their oil. God has given me my oil. And my oil reservoir is as big or bigger than theirs. From the way they behave, I don't think they got the oil I got.
No.
In fact, I think they're looking at my oil well. They may shut down over there.
That's right.
I'm not joking. Everybody say, hey, we better dig wells and get the oil that God has blessed the son of Elijah Muhammad with. We better start pumping a new oil. But getting back to the material reality, he's talking to the spiritual there. Getting back to the material reality, I told Rafa, I said, it's not going to come from over there. I said, it's going to come from here. It's going to be Christians opening doors to us.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know at that time. I didn't know where it was going to come from. And God, you know, he tells us in the scripture, he said, and he will aid you from situations that you do not know or have any awareness of. You can't tell from which direction God will come with help or aid. No, it's with God. It's with God only. So anyway, it's opening up. And I shared something with you privately and one-on-one sometime and then with few of you. But I think I should also share it with the public audience. I don't care to mention it again right now at this particular time. But we were given strong message from very strong and powerful Christian society that they recognize Imam W.D. Muhammad and pledge their backings.
Yes, sir.
Pledge their backings. Nothing materialized until very recently. Something very big has materialized, and I know there's no way that we can get these suits. We know it's coming from California, you know, Abu Qadir al-Amin and Yahya. I authorized both of them to find suppliers for us. And they found some in Thailand. They found suppliers. Good, excellent garments. Beautiful garments they make. And the price is good, too. But nothing like what we got now. And it's coming from a Christian factory, manufacturer, Christian manufacturer. And we know they're giving us the price, the lowest price. We know that. We're getting it at the lowest price. I believe they only sell to each other at this price they're giving it, that they're selling to us. Yes. They're overseas, Christian country overseas. And I thank Allah for it, and I thank them, and I pray Allah reward, which I know He will, reward that Christian society many, many times over for the good gesture that they have made to us and the good opportunity, good business opportunity they have opened to us to really be competitive. So our brother is coming with another connection that he has in New York. And I'm sure that these people know about the first connection, okay?
Yes,
so now they're responding too.
Yes, sir.
Now, I hear that he has some suits and they're good quality and everything. And I don't care if they got gold threads in them. I'm not going to turn down the first offer. Oh, you don't turn down the first offer. No, indeed. It's like a man, he see a pretty woman, and he gets her. Another pretty woman come up. He wants her too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I'm going to treat this one like a concubine. I knew of Brother Caduce for some time, but recently I've got acquainted with him as a businessman. And I'm so impressed with his friends and associates in the city and state where he's from. When you find a person liked by good people, most likely that's a good person.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But if he's not liked by good people, keep him at a distance. This man is liked by some of the best citizens in his community where he comes from. And I liked him from the very first time I met him. And I had asked him to come on as a consultant for business purchase, and to promote an interest among our business or in our businessmen and women for this business that we are in. So it will grow and more people will come in as distributors or wholesale purchasers or whatever, volume purchasers. So his name is Brother Quddus. This is an attribute of God. El Quddus is an attribute of God. And like Abdullah and like Rahman and all the El Quddus. How many of you all know the attribute of God, El Quddus? Oh, good. Good. It means the holy. Translate. Good. It means the holy. Translate the holy. And Quds is the name of Jerusalem. Quds. El Quds. And Quds means the sacred or holy city. Quds. Okay, my brother. Now, He's a brother now. He's not the city of Quddus. All right. He's not Allah El Quddus, but he's the servant of God. I do believe that.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. You know they're waiting on me to give them this oil that I got.
Yes. Take 1 minute. As-salamu alaykum. With the name of Allah, the most beneficent and the merciful, all praise due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. As the Imam said, he asked me to be a consultant for the CPC. And we have some purchases coming from out of Turkey with the suits and some other things. I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'm going to move out the way and I'm going to let him go ahead and speak. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, bring me one of those suits. You ain't finished, man.